Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And, yeah, it's a Monday morning, which means my dad is going to call in a little bit and tell a joke. And it's a jokey time that's coming up. And, yeah, we've got a Blackhawks Express from last night's a big win. And that's 11 in a row for the Blackhawks. 11 in a row. Very cool. Okay, so this past Saturday, Sven Gulli, my main man Sven Gulli, had a show, obviously, Saturday nights, 9 o'clock on MeTV, and he showed King Kong Escapes. Now, King Kong Escapes is a Japanese film, very odd background here, and Rich went into this. It was produced by, at least the American portion of it, it was produced by Rankin Bass. Now, for those of you who don't know Rankin Bass is the animation company, the animation studio that's responsible for all the classic Christmas specials. You know, your Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, your Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Frosty the Snowman. And they produced this Japanese film called King Kong Escapes. And the reason why, and Rich went into this, the reason why is that they had a TV series. Rankin Bass did an animated TV series based on King Kong, which has one of the greatest. Hey, Dan, see if you can find the theme song to the Rankin Bass King Kong TV show. Because it's one of the greatest theme songs, and I had forgotten all about it until Rich brought it up on the show on Sven Gulli. I completely forgot about it.
King Kong, you know the name of King Kong. You know the fame of King Kong. 10 times as big as a man.
Ten times as big as a man. I think he's bigger. Isn't he bigger than 10 times as big as a man?
What man are they talking about? Is it already a very tall man?
Maybe Richard Kiel? I don't know.
Yeah, like a 7 foot?
There's I don't know.
7 foot men. That would be pretty tall.
But I do remember that song. King Kong, you know the name of King Kong. I remember when I was a kid, I used to watch that all the time, and that just came rushing back to me. While watching Sven Gulli. And then Rich, of course, sang it. Rich was going, King Kong, you know the name.
Was he singing it in a gorilla suit?
No, he was he was singing it as Sven Gulli.
He should have been, but he should have been Sven Gulli in a gorilla
suit. In a gorilla suit. I wouldn't put it past. Listen, don't put it past Rich to put on a gorilla suit.
You can still see his face.
I wouldn't be surprised if Rich has donned a gorilla suit many times. That just wouldn't surprise me. So anyway, now, have either of you ever seen King Kong Escapes?
None of it. You know, I've never seen any King Kongs.
Wait a minute.
None of the movies. Whoa. I think I tried to watch the new one, but it was so long, I was just like, I can't do
Wait
this
a minute.
Too much.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa.
It's like, I know what happens.
You didn't see the original King Kong?
No.
Esmeralda. Oh, you have to see the original King Kong.
Is it part of the monster movie,
It's not really officially, I mean, it is kind of, but it's not really officially part of the Universal, you know, monsters. That came out in 1933, so it was right at that time when everything was coming out. But yeah, King Kong, no, you got to see the original. And the Peter Jackson version is phenomenal. I know it's long, but it's phenomenal. The version from 1976, I believe, with Jeff Bridges, is really bad. And it pains me to say it because Jeff Bridges is in it, but it's really bad. I will say this, though. Jeff Bridges, fantastic beard in that movie. Fantastic. Now, you know, Esmeralda, I don't know if you know this or not, Dan certainly does, that my friends and I judge bearded performances.
Apparently.
You know, like, but if it's the best bearded performance. And so that, you know, it's not a very good movie, but he's got a very impressive beard in that movie. Jeff Bridges in the King Kong remake from the 70s. That's a good beard. That's a damn good beard. But I believe my favorite bearded performance is Kurt Russell in The Thing. And I'll tell you what, it's not that bad. His facial hair in Hateful Eight is pretty damn impressive, too.
Do you think he's gotten any help?
What do you mean?
You know, like a weave.
Oh, no. Or... No, that's all Kurt Russell.
It's all him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all Kurt Russell.
You know, they could throw in some patches. Makeup
tricks. No, the thing is because, like, you know, he was like, he while they were shooting Hateful Eight, he was like in public, you know, making appearances and stuff, and he looked like a lunatic. So if that was like, if he had any help at all with weaves and stuff, he was wearing it 24 hours a day. That was like, hey, Dan, what was the appearance that DiCaprio made? It was like some serious political appearance, and he still had the hair. And the facial hair and the beard from The Revenant?
Yeah, I want to say it was like an environmental defense, like address to the United Nations or something crazy like that.
He looked like a lunatic. I mean, he, you know, he had a tuxedo on. He's at this very elegant event. It's a very important political event, like a money, you know, money raising event. And yet, if, from the neck up, he looked like a madman because he had the Revenant hairdo.
Were they still filming, you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if he could have done something to it, like at least just put something in it to make
well,
it look
he did,
a little
he
less.
He slicked his hair back and did he have a bun?
I think he did have the man bun.
Yeah.
So did he look like when you watch some movies where they have homeless people in it and then they dress them up? Do you know what I'm talking about? They're always
right.
Like,
they try to make them a little more presentable.
Right,
but
and they just
still
slick
what
back
was
their
that?
Hair.
What was that horrible movie where Robert Downey Jr. Jamie Foxx was like the homeless dude who played the violin on The Soloist? The Soloist.
Yeah, where he had mental issues.
Oh, what a horrendous movie.
Was it? Okay.
It's a terrible movie.
I haven't seen it because I know I'm just going to cry.
No, I cried because I wasted 2 hours. But it's a terrible movie, and it was on. That was on our. That was one of the movies on our flight to Ireland. That damn movie. I remember. That and they showed the damn movie, the dog, the Owen Wilson.
They just wanted you to cry.
Kate Hudson, the dog die movie.
Right, Marley and Me.
Marley and Me. And I think a lot of people who were on that flight didn't know how that movie ended. I don't think they knew that they kill off the dog at the end. Because people were like, what the hell? And there were a lot of people were crying in the plane.
Animal deaths are very
yeah.
emotional.
I understand. So, King Kong, you know the name. 10 times as big as a man. So anyway, King Kong Escapes was on. And I watched it. And it is hysterical. Like, I mean, I was laughing out loud on my couch while I was watching it. I mean, obviously, I saw that movie a million times when I was a kid because all the big monster movies when I was a kid, I watched them all over and over and over and over and over again. All the Godzilla movies, all the giant monster movies, King Kong, anything with giant robots stepping on buildings and stuff. That's it. I was all over it. So I hadn't seen it in years, and it is absolutely hysterical. So again, if you get a chance to see it. They're going to repeat Svengoolie on Me Too, the channel Me Too, Saturday at 11 a.m. So if you missed Svengoolie showing King Kong Escapes, I highly, highly recommend that you watch it Saturday at 11 a.m. because it's absolutely hysterical. So that got me thinking about the worst movies that are great. So the best worst movies. I know Dan's got a few, and I know Esmeralda's been thinking about it, too, and we want to hear from you. In honor of Sven Gulli's fantastic showing of King Kong Escapes, what are some of the best, worst movies of all time, in your opinion? You've seen them a million times, even though they're terrible. They're funny, they're awesome, they're entertaining. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for best, worst movies ever. Morning, everybody. It's Monday. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm the overnight dude, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Opening bell coming up after 5 a.m. and then Steve Cochran at 6. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. You can talk and text us there, 312-981-7200. We're talking about the best, worst movies ever. What movies are so bad that they're great, they're hilarious, that you watch them over and over again? So great, great, terrible movies. I got a couple of lists here of unintentionally hilarious movies that we'll go through. And we got some texts coming in at 312-981-7200, but I want to hear from you guys and from my coworkers here, my buddies. Dan Shagrew. Dan, do you have anyone that you go to that that you and your friends would watch?
Not friends would watch because I'd be too embarrassed to actually show them either one. But the two that came to mind, one older, one newer. The older one is Best of the Best. With Eric Roberts.
That's right.
It's a fantastic movie about kickboxing and the Olympics, and some guy loses an eye, and there's a reason.
James Earl Jones is in it, too.
James Earl Jones is in it. Yeah. was that Chris Penn?
Chris Penn, yes. Yeah. It's Chris Penn.
So it's just, I mean, obviously when I was 10 and saw it on HBO, I thought it was the coolest thing on the face of the earth, and I just rewatched it 6 months ago, and it's completely awful, but so good. And it's 80-ness. It's just, you know, it's got all the 80s beats. The guy riding, the guy leaving the team, riding on a motorcycle, soul searching, turning around, and, you know, making the right choice in the end, even it came at a personal cost.
That's right, man. Very important.
Yes, very important. Yeah. Very moral uprising and uplifting. The other one that is newer, and I can't say that I enjoy it. I'm just endlessly fascinated by it, as Tron 2.
That's on one of these lists.
Yeah.
Tron Legacy. Now, what is it about?
It is just stupendously dumb. Like, there's just the babble that Jeff Daniels, Bridges,
says that's terrible. That my favorite actor has been mentioned twice now in bad movies.
It's just mind-blowing how just awful and weird, and the philosophies he's expounding, and you know, the CGI is so bad, and but there's so many interesting things going on there. I like all the individual actors within it. I mean, like, Michael Sheen does this awesome David Bowie type thing as this club owner, and Garrett Hudlin's really good, and Olivia Wilde's good, and obviously Bridges is always good. It's such a bad movie, but I can't help but watching it. And Daft Punk, it's one of those movies where the soundtrack's better than the movie, because Daft Punk did the entire soundtrack and did a fantastic soundtrack.
Didn't they look super cool, too, in
the club? Yeah, they did. That was, you know, the club scene's one of the coolest scenes in there, thanks to Michael Sheen and Daft Punk.
Okay. I saw it. I don't remember anything about it. I don't.
What's his face is in it, too? The Scarecrow from Batman? From Dark Knight.
Oh, Killian Murphy? Yeah. Killian Murphy's in it too?
He's in it for in the beginning, and that's it. He's like a guy who buys the company or something, right?
Right. And then
and
upstart.
It says here, they listed it on these movies. This guy, Michael Lindley, wrote about it, or Matthew Lindley wrote about it. He said, yes, it was a terrible movie with enough plot holes to qualify the film as a sort of theatrical Swiss cheese. But outside of that, the actual movie was a stunning spectacle of visuals along with an orchestral score produced by none other than Daft Punk, which basically proves the music duo literally can do no wrong. Bonus points for Jeff Bridges signing up for a two-hour music video featuring deadly frisbees and fighting a computer-generated evil Jeff Bridges. Here's what I remember about the movie. See, because I thought the first one sucked. I know that that's sacrilegious because people love that movie. And I was in high school when it came out. And even when I was in high school, when I saw Tron, I was like, yeah, this sucks. This is terrible. So I don't know. And then when I went to go see Tron Legacy, it didn't seem – it just didn't do anything for me at all, because I just was just like, I don't understand any of this, because I thought the first one sucked. The one thing that I do remember – was creepy CGI effects making Jeff Bridges look like he was 30 again. That's the thing that I remember most about it. Now, was that evil Jeff Bridges?
That was evil Jeff Bridges.
Old Jeff Bridges was good Jeff Bridges.
Right, because evil Jeff Bridges was the machine, and the machine wouldn't age.
Right. That was like the, I found that really, the only thing that I found that really distracting, like disturbing and distracting, was like Jeff Bridges like looking
it
30.
It was so bad. It was distracting. It just was just like, you guys should stop showing him because it's so distracting and bad.
Yeah.
You should just figure out a way to work around it because it's not working at all.
No, were you a fan of the first movie?
I realized when I was a kid watching it, like, this doesn't make any sense. But obviously it was just so interesting to see what they were doing on the screen and, you know, the entry of the special effects and it being so different than it was.
Well, you know, I will say this. You look at it now and it's ridiculous. But when that movie came out, I got to say, that was state of the art. That was beyond. I mean, nobody had ever seen anything like that before.
Right.
And I remember Ebert and Siskel doing like half of their show was about Tron and how groundbreaking it was in terms of special effects technology and stuff. And it was true. I mean, you look at it now and it's silly.
Right.
But that was state-of-the-art stuff.
But even then, you can see there's like the seed of something bigger within it, which is always interesting. And speaking of that, last one other quick one before we go to Esmeralda. There was a movie called Airborne from the early 90s in which a kid from California moves to Minnesota and makes friends through rollerblading. And
okay.
It's awesome.
Okay, I was going to say it was rollerblading. I just didn't remember whether it was skateboarding or rollerblading. What about Solar Babies? Wasn't Solar Babies another one of those movies?
Mm, I don't know that one.
Okay, look it up. Because Solar Babies, I want to say it was in 85 or 86, and it was about post-nuclear, you know, it was a post-apocalyptic thing. But everybody was on roller skates, and I think Jamie Gertz was in it.
Yes, she was.
Okay. Solar Babies. When I think roller skating and post-apocalyptic, I think Solar Babies.
But remember, the thing with Airborne, it was inline skating, the cool one.
That's
at
right.
The time. The guy kept saying bra, and people thought he was referring to women's underwear, because he was Californian.
That's right. Sure. Yeah. It's like at the end of Point Break, when Patrick Swayze is standing on the shore, Keanu walks up and throws the mask down in front of him. The Reagan mask goes, "Lose something, bra." God, it's Point Break. You know what? I never saw the sequel. I did not over the holiday break. I guess I just couldn't bring myself to see it. Or the sequel, the remake. I did not go out to see the Point Break remake. And I think it was, I think they probably wouldn't have let me in anyway because there was a possibility of me destroying the theater. And I made that known on the air. It's like, if you're going to be at this theater, don't sit in the same theater, don't sit in the same screening as I am because I'm going to break every piece of furniture in the theater. Now, Esmeralda, do you like watching bad movies?
Probably. I probably watch bad movies and think that I really like them. I really like Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
So do I.
They're so good but awful.
What's not to love?
I sat down one day and watched a movie. I don't even know what it's called.
I can help you with that.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme and Rob Schneider are selling counterfeit jeans, but they didn't know that.
Oh, it's knockoff.
Like, what?
Knockoff. Now, and that's, isn't Dennis Rodman in that?
No, he is not.
He's in double something, double face.
Something or other. He's not in that. But I just, like, I sat down and I watched the whole thing and on TV. So I had to sit through commercials.
If I remember correctly, and Dan, if you could look up Knockoff for me, I think, I actually like that movie because I think Ringo Lam directed it. And Ringo Lam is a phenomenal Hong Kong filmmaker who has made some. Did he direct it?
No, it's Hark.
Chui Hark. Okay, so it's either Chui Hark or Ringo Lam. Those guys went on to direct. They also directed Double. He also directed Double Team, which was the one with Van Damme and Rodman. But Ringo Lam also directed the one with Rosanna Arquette, Nowhere to Run. Think that no, that was Robert Harmon. Robert Harmon directed that. Why do I know all of the directors of the Van Damme movies?
Because they're so good and awful.
Some of them are legitimately good. Some of them are awful. All right, hang on. We got a break here. 312-981-7200. What are your favorite horrible movies that you love? All right. The news is next. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Hi. It's Monday morning. In a little while, my dad will call in to tell a joke because it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. And We will hear the Blackhawks express from last night's 11th victory in a row for the Blackhawks. Outstanding. Now, we are talking about movies that are so bad they're great. Movies that you watch over and over again despite the fact that they are absolutely terrible. So bad they're funny. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Now, Esmeralda, you were talking about Van Damme movies causing some Van damage.
Maybe it's those roundhouse kicks. I don't know what it is. But I just love watching it. Like Bloodsport I watched just recently again.
Bloodsport rules.
And it's so silly.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously silly.
It is.
And the other one where the guy, it's always that bad guy. There's always the bad guy, and one's got a ponytail in the other one.
Wait.
And he always kills one of his friends in the ring.
Well, what you're talking about, Bolo, is the bad guy in Bloodsport is also the bad guy in Enter the Dragon.
No, but there's always, I mean, in the other one, I think, I want to say Lionheart.
Lionheart. Lionheart.
Right? He's got that, like, braided ponytail.
I guess. I don't remember.
It's. I always just remember because it's always like bad guy in the ring, kill somebody.
Now,
and
did
then
you ever
gotta
see?
Beat him.
You ever see? Here's a classic one. You ever see Sudden Death?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know their names.
Okay, Sudden Death. Well, yeah, I can understand that. Sudden Death is Van Damme. Okay, and he's running around during a Penguins game, during an NHL Penguins game.
Oh wait, and there's the bad guy and his daughter.
Yeah. And he, at one point, Van Damme wants to get closer to what's going on, so he disguises himself as the Penguins' goalie.
Oh, boy.
And he gets into the net and makes an incredible save, and his mask comes off, and his son sees him and sees that he's the goalie and makes the save, and it's like this incredible moment between father and son.
Aww.
Like, oh, my God, my dad is as good as a professional goalie.
Nice.
And he beats the crap out of a guy. Another fantastic moment from that movie.
Mm.
He beats the crap out of the guy in the Penguins mascot costume.
Right. Of course. Who doesn't want to do that?
Hey, easy. It's fantastic.
Well, not on...
Tommy Hawk.
Not on Tommy Hawk.
Tommy Hawk's the king of the universe.
But probably whoever that was in that.
But it's that one. And, you know, my first wife, you know what our first date was? With my...
Oh, boy.
Time Cop.
Oh, all right.
Van Damme, man, causing some Van Damme with Time Cup.
The reason why I like these is my dad loves watching like all these action movies.
Of course
so I
he
would
does.
Like sit around as a kid and watch them with him. So.
Of course he does. Have I mentioned how much your dad
rules?
And I've never met your dad, and I already think he rules.
Yes.
So
yes,
all right, we got a lot of horrible movies that we need to talk about. I remember I met Van Damme. He came to town to. I got pictures with him and everything.
Did he do the splits?
Well,
in front of you,
he did. In fact, yes, he did do the splits. But he came in. He was in town to promote Cyborg. I remember, which is a horrible movie, but not horrible in a great way like the other ones that we've been talking about. Like this is just bad. It's not fun to watch at all. It's just a bad movie. He came to town to talk about that. Then he came back to talk about Double Impact. That's where you get two Van Dammes. Have you ever seen that one?
Two Van Dammes for the price of one?
Oh, my God, Esmeralda, you've never seen Double Impact?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God, you have to see Double Impact. Van Damme kicks his own ass in it. You have to see it. Dan, have you seen Double Impact?
I want to say I watched it once.
Oh, my God, is it great. Total double Van Damage. You have to see Double Impact. Anyway, he came to town to promote that movie, and he was on Roy's show. And then we went to a commercial because Roy was like, listen, Nick, man, why don't you come down here and do this Van Damme interview? I don't care. You know, because I love Van Damme. And so, like, Roy Leonard doesn't want to do a Van Damme interview. You know? So he's like, come down and do it. So I, like, led the interview. It was me and Roy interviewing him, but I led most of the questions because Roy just didn't give a crap about Van Damme, you know? Those were the movies. That's why Roy made me a part of his show. You know this story, right, Esmeralda?
Right. He wanted you to watch all the crap
movies. Yeah, he was tired of seeing crap movies. And he's like, I'm going to let this young, smart-ass punk go and see these stupid movies that I don't have to see anymore. That was my purpose, was to see terrible movies that Roy Leonard didn't have to see. So he was like, yeah, we'll have Van Damme on. So we have him on. Van Damme turned out to be a really entertaining guest. Very funny. But during commercial break, he was like, I go, I remember the last time you were here in town, you were promoting Cyborg. And he goes, oh, Cyborg, terrible movie.
Man, he's got to pay the bills.
Even he said it was terrible. Even Van Damme said Cyborg was terrible. That's how bad. How bad is Cyborg? Van Damme doesn't like it. He said, terrible movie. Good trailer. Terrible movie. Okay. But no, you listen, Esmeralda, you have to see Double Impact.
Put it on my
list. Oh my God, do you have to see Double Impact? he's as good as Jeremy Irons was in Dead Ringers. I'm kidding. That's a joke. You know, hey, Dan, Tom Hardy in Legend, not nearly as good as Van Damme.
I mean, it's like comparing two different universes. I mean,
are you just trying to anger Dan? Is that what you're doing?
No.
What are you?
No, that's fine. I understand his Van Damme love.
Yeah. You got to love Van Damme. All right. All right. We got people on the line. We're talking about horrible movies that you love. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, morning, Nick. How morning. You doing?
All right.
Hey, I saw your girl on television yesterday.
Who?
Yvonne Craig.
Oh, yeah.
Ski Party. That's what it was called.
Yeah, she was something. Yvonne Craig, a Batgirl. Yeah.
Well, I was telling Dan off on the phone that we lost three over the year. Melody Patterson, Yvonne Craig, and Donna Dixon.
That's right, Donna Dixon, too.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marianne's the only one left.
Only one left. You are right. Okay, what do you got?
Okay, I got Schlock, Attack of the Banana Monster.
Yeah, Schlock is a great movie. You know, Esmeralda's laughing. Esmeralda, it's a real thing. Schlock is a real thing.
No, well, yeah, the Banana Monster?
Attack of the Banana. It's a guy in an ape suit.
That's what I was thinking with the ape movies.
Yeah.
I was hoping it was just a big banana.
No, it's not. No, that would be fantastic if it was a giant banana running around killing people. That's a good idea. Yeah, Schlock. It's classic.
Hey, Nick, one more.
Yeah.
On Creature Feature back in the day, they would have Attack of the Gargantuans.
Uh-huh.
Remember that movie?
I do, yes.
One bad one and one good one.
Yeah. Yeah, those are, man, I love the big monster movies. Love the big monster movies. That's how this all started. King Kong Escapes this weekend was magical. So, all right, thanks, Mike.
Hey, we got to get Rich to put that on Sven Gulli schlock. He hasn't been on television for a long time.
Yeah, I'll talk to Rich. You know, I got a lot of pull in this city.
That's good. That's a great flick to have on there.
All right, Mike, thanks.
Hey, one last thing.
Yeah.
You got to do Tull Tuesday.
Tull Tuesday. Not bad. Not bad, Mike. All right, buddy. Take care.
All right.
Tall Tuesday. Yeah. Let's see. John says Flash Gordon and Hudson Hawk are my two choices. You know, I like Hudson Hawk. Like, legitimately. I know that movie gets a lot of grief, the Bruce Willis movie. I actually really like Hudson Hawk. I think it's a good movie. Flash Gordon is awful, but it's great. That Flash Gordon from 1980, that absolutely fits into the category that we're talking about. And, of course, Brian. It didn't take Brian very long, right, Dan?
Nope, not at all.
My favorite great bad movie is 1985's Gymkhana. Didn't take very long for Gymkhana to get mentioned. From magically chalked up hands to the town of the crazies plus a truly amazing score, Gymkhana fully renders me chipper. 312 area code says the Cannonball Run. Yeah, both of the Cannonball Run movies, man. Oh, man. Both of them. All right. We got more texts coming in. 312-981-7200. Movies that are so awful, they're great. I've got a few, and I have the ultimate one that I have to tell you about, which I think is absolutely the best worst movie ever made. One of the worst movies ever made in the history of cinema, and I've seen it 9,000 times. And I'm lending my copy to Esmeralda. And Esmeralda, you have to text me when you're watching it. You got to let me know what you think.
Okay.
Because it's pretty special. All right. Best worst movies ever. 312-981-7200. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5. And we are talking about the worst, best worst movies. Movies that are so bad that you've watched them many, many, many times. So bad they're hilarious. Unintentionally awesome, bad movies. And we've got some texts coming in. Nick says, that King Kong theme song sounded an awful lot like the Underdog theme song. Hmm. King Kong, you know the name of King. That song rules. 10 times as big as a man. Here's another thing I noticed about King Kong Escapes when I was watching it. The size of King Kong varied 8,000 times during the course of the movie.
It's called perspective.
Yeah, is that what it's called? Oh, man.
Were you holding one eye closed?
And the dude, yeah, that's what I was doing. And the dude, by the way, and then again, Rich talked about this. The dude inside the suit playing King Kong had played Godzilla in 5 Godzilla movies. So he was like a Japanese hero. Like he was like the coolest dude in Japan. He was the guy who was in the Godzilla costume stepping on buildings and stuff.
So he had much experience being a large monster.
Yeah, and he had to fight big monsters in it. And he had, the big battle was between him and a robot King Kong that was developed by the evil Doctor Who. Now, and it's Dr. H.U., but they kept saying Doctor Who, and I just kept waiting for Tom Baker to show up. Or who is it now? Capaldi? It's not Capaldi now, is it? I don't know who the current doctor is. I think it might be Capaldi.
It's the older guy. That's all I know.
That's good.
I stopped watching after
I think the current doctor is Capaldi. Yeah. Who used to be in a band with Craig Ferguson, by the way. They used to be in a band together. Okay, so bad movies, so bad they're good. I will give you my thought there's a ton of them, and I got a list here. We've got Staying Alive, we've got The Wicker Man. Oh man, The Wicker Man. The bees, not the bees. That movie is unbelievable. How about The Happening with Mark Wahlberg and directed by M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong? You don't know do you remember The Happening, Esmeralda?
I remember it.
This is where, like,
I don't want to.
Like, plants and trees and stuff.
See, that's bad, but I wouldn't want to see it.
Well, it's.
No, thanks.
It is so bad, it's funny. Like, there are parts of the Happening that are hysterical, but I wouldn't sit through the whole thing just to have a good time. They're not. That's not the first one that would pop into my mind. Showgirls is on the list. That's a movie I can't find any amusement in that movie. I just find it vile. I really do. I mean, Elizabeth Berkley's awful in it, and it's hilarious to watch her act. But I find that movie to just be so, like, morally reprehensible that I can't even watch it. I can't even have a good time watching it. I mean, there's like a 15-minute rape scene. A really, like, a graphic, like, 10-minute rape scene in that movie. That's not pleasant. I don't want to see that. It does have some funny dialogue, and Elizabeth Berkley's ridiculous in it. And Kyle MacLachlan has some serious hair issues in that movie. That's a pretty bad haircut right there. All right, let's go to the phones here. Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
I'm speaking for my wife, but if she's flipping through channels, Xanadu, she will watch over and over.
Oh, man. Speaking of roller skates, Dan, we were talking about roller skates.
No, it gets worse.
Yeah.
Ice Castles.
Oh.
And Linda Blair, Roller Boogie.
Boy, it's ice skates or roller skates, and your wife is all over it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. All right. Okay, Steve, thanks.
All right.
Xanadu with music by ELO. Whew. You know what's so horrible about Xanadu besides everything about it? Is that Michael Beck is in that movie, and Michael Beck, that was his follow-up to playing Swan in the Warriors. Like, he's the lead in the Warriors. He's a total badass in the Warriors. And that movie, please, that's one of the greatest action films ever made. And Michael Beck in the Warriors, as the leader of the Warriors, as Swan, is a badass, a total badass. And then his next movie, he's jumping around on roller skates with Olivia Newton-John. It's unbelievable. Like, I remember going to see Xanadu and saying, that can't be, that is not Swan. I refuse to believe that is the same dude who was in the Warriors. I just will not accept this. Xanadu. Have you ever seen ice castles? Esmeralda, have you ever seen ice castles?
No.
Oh, man. Robbie Benson and Lynn Holly Johnson. That is another one. That is an unbelievable movie. Unbelievable. Jay in Ohio says, Nick, The Room is the funniest bad movie of all time. Room is up there, man. It's on all these lists, too. And I've had Tommy Wiseau on the show. He's nuts. I've had him in studio twice. He's as crazy as you think he is, he is. He's a crazy man.
By the way, they redid Ice Castles.
Yeah, there was a remake a few years ago, I think.
Why?
Who was in the remake? Does it say?
I
can't remember who was in the remake.
Taylor Firth?
Yeah.
I don't know, I think it's a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah. I just remember in the original Ice Castles, because she goes blind. Like, she's a figure skating, like, champion. And I can't remember. She has an accident and is rendered blind. And then Robbie Benson is, like, her boyfriend or something. And then he's training her to be blind. He's training her to be blind. That's what he's doing. He's training her to be blind. So he's training her, and she keeps giving up. So I remember him being real mean to her and, like, doing a spin and, like, purposely throwing her into a wall and stuff. I just remember watching the movie going, what the hell is this? I mean, it's like he's screaming at her and whipping her across the rink and having her smash into walls and stuff. I'm like, dude, how is this helpful to this blind woman? You keep throwing her around, you know, like screaming at her, if you want to give up, that's fine, but I don't. Throwing her into trees and stuff. I'm like, what the hell is this? And then there was a song, man. The song was all over the radio, too. Dan, if you can look it up while we break. I think it might have been nominated for an Academy Award. It was one of the chintziest, like, cheesiest, sappiest love songs of the 70s ever. And it was like the Ice Castles theme. And I can't remember what it was, but it was horrendous. So, all right. Horrible movies that are awesome. 312-981-7200. All right. News is next. I can feel so much since I found you. Looking through the eyes of love. Yeah. Yeah, this is. Yeah, this is the song, the lovely song from the movie Ice Castles. I believe this song was playing when Robbie Benson was whipping Lynn Holly Johnson into a brick wall. That is Melissa Manchester, Through the Eyes of Love, the love theme from Ice Castles. It was also nominated for Best Original Song for the Academy Awards. Good God. Dan, you must be very happy that that has never entered your brain until today.
Yeah, yeah. That was something.
Yeah, try hearing that like every 15 minutes on in heavy rotation on the radio. Through the Eyes of Love, man.
All right. According to A15, this just in, every high school marching band in the 80s played the song.
Is that right?
Yeah. Apparently it's very, very easy to play.
That was the best.
Well, wait a minute. That was Mary's coming in. Mary.
Robbie Benson. Oh.
Now, let me ask you this, Mary. Am I remembering this right? I only saw it one time because I hated it. But
I didn't see it too many times.
Doesn't he, like, throw her around at one point? Like, he gets frustrated with her because she's blind and she's going to give up? And then, like, he whips her into a tree or something.
Remember that.
I just remember him being really, really mean.
You wanted him to, I think.
You did?
Well, you probably did.
No, I didn't. I remember watching the movie and going, hey, man, take it easy. I just remember him, like, throwing her around.
Well,
like,
there were some parts that I think he was trying to train her, and we kind of forgot she was
blind. She was blind, and, like, I think he throws her, like, into a tree, or if they're in an ice skating rink, he throws her into the boards, like, checks her into the boards or something.
I don't care. I loved Robbie Benson. He could have done anything.
Did you like One on One?
His eyes were so beautiful.
How about One on One?
One on One. Oh, the basketball
movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's good, too.
He was in One on One. He was in Ice Castles. He was in The Ode to Billy Joe.
Oh, The Ode to Billy Joe.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That was a disturbing movie to me.
Well, it's one of those movies that actually is based on a song.
Right.
Because if the song came first.
Well, yeah.
And then they were like, yeah, let's make a movie out of that.
Jump off the Tallahassee.
That's right. He jumps off the Tallahassee Bridge.
Yeah. That was disturbing.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember some of the other. Oh, Running Brave. Remember Running Brave? Where he was the
Native American.
He was a Native American runner.
Runner, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He could do anything, Robbie. Yeah. Any sport.
Including portraying a Native American?
Yes. He was Robbie.
He could. Hey, he could do anything.
You had a lot of people.
He was like, you know
Native
what he was like, Dan? He was like Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
I'm just glad that he and Van Damme never did a movie together because we'd just be done for.
Yeah. No Van Damme. Speaking of Van Damme, Esmeralda. Here's Tony on WGN. Hey, Tony.
Yo, Nikki, what's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Dude, I got one that would make your teeth hurt, man.
Yeah.
Kickboxer.
Kickboxer, that's Van Damage.
That's, you know what? And that answers Esmeralda movie, The Villain with the Ponytail, Tong Po.
Oh, is that Kickboxer? Okay.
Yeah.
I always just, and then he had to fight him because he killed, like, one of his friends, right?
No, he crippled his brother.
Oh, okay,
back.
Well.
And he's running around Thailand trying to find a teacher that would teach him Muay Thai so he could fight the guy.
Right, and in Bloodsport, the guy who would yell nerds from Nerds, he got
yeah.
injured.
Right.
So then Jean-Claude Van Damme had to fight for him.
That's right. Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean... Nick, the movie made my teeth hurt, man. I can still go to the dentist by now.
Yeah, I know. I understand. All right, Tony. Thanks, man.
All right, man. All right.
Kickboxer. You got to check that one out. Well, you've seen it.
No, I've seen it.
You got it. Double Impact's the one
you've
seen.
I never remember their names.
All right, let me quickly tell you about the movie that you're going to be watching.
Right.
That
yes.
I lent to you.
Yes.
I have a copy of this movie. It's not available on DVD. Somehow I have a copy of it on DVD that has been transferred from VHS. It is, without question, the best worst movie ever made, and it is truly one of the worst films in the history of cinema. It's a movie called Fever Pitch. Now, it's not the movie with Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore that came out like
right,
mid-2000s.
Yeah.
It's also not the movie, the British film with Colin Firth that's based on Nick Hornby's book about a guy who's obsessed with soccer.
Okay.
Which is what the American version is based on, but they changed it from soccer to Boston Red Sox. Okay, This is a movie called Fever Pitch. Came out in 1985. Ryan O'Neal is the star. Ryan O'Neal plays Steve Taggart, which is one of my favorite character names in the history of film. I don't know why. Steve Taggart. I just love it. So he plays Steve Taggart, who is an award-winning journalist, who decides that he's going to bust open gambling.
Of course.
He's going to write a piece about gambling. He goes to Vegas to do an expose on gambling and, of course, becomes addicted to gambling himself.
Wow.
That's what it is. Now, Chad Everett is in it. He plays a bad guy. The great John Saxon, legend, is in it. Catherine Hicks, who would go on to be on Seventh Heaven.
She the mom?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Mom on Seventh Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's in it. She plays a hooker. All right, so she's in it.
Oh.
I can't even explain to you how unbelievably awful this movie is on every level. It is absurd. It makes no sense. The acting is beyond terrible. I'm telling you, I went to see this movie with my friend Scott Oaken. 15 minutes into it, we were like, this is spectacular. I have never seen anything like this before. We laughed our asses off from the first frame to the end. Went back the next night, brought all our friends to see it.
Did you have high hopes for it?
Richard Brooks is the writer and director, and Richard Brooks has made some good movies.
He's
passed away, but he's made some. Unfortunately, this was his last movie.
Oh, no.
I know. Looking for Mr. Goodbar. He made In Cold Blood, so he did actually make some really good films. This one, unfortunately, so we went in going, oh, okay. And at that time, you know, Ryan O'Neal was still pretty popular. This was before he sunk into, you know, the netherworlds.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we just, like, beside ourselves laughing. So it's not, unfortunately, it's not available on DVD. There's not a lot of call for it.
Right.
You know,
you
I don't
should,
see it.
You should start a writing campaign.
I do. I'd love to get a writing campaign, but I do have it. Somebody I know duped it from VHS to DVD, and I have it on DVD.
But think of the extras.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? It would be 10 hours of extras. But I'm telling you, I don't know. I've never laughed harder at a bad movie. Never, ever, ever have I laughed harder at a bad movie.
I'm excited to
see it's called Fever Pitch from 1985. You can look it up online. I think if you still got a VHS player, you can get it like on eBay. I think you probably get it for like $4 or $3 on eBay.
Right.
It'll be the best money you've ever spent. And it'll be, if you have put your VHS player away, it's worth it to order this movie and hook it back up. That's all I'm saying.
You should play it for your movie club.
I would love to, but it's not available in the format. I mean, I'd like to bring this, the disc, and show it, you know, because this. But what's so fantastic about this disc that you have that you're going to watch, Esmeralda, is that it was recorded from a VHS copy, and a VHS copy that had probably been run a bunch of times. Because mm-hmm. you know when you used to watch video tapes, there would be like little sort of like marks. And yeah. and like little like fuzzy interference and stuff mm-hmm. that happens throughout this thing. So the experience of watching Fever Pitch on this disc that I'm giving you is like watching it on VHS.
Authentic.
It's like you rented it from a corner VHS store. It's a Fever Pitch is the best.
I'm excited.
It is the it's the greatest worst movie ever made. The other two that come close are both Hercules movies with Lou Ferrigno. Hercules and Hercules
Wait.
Two.
I saw the Hercules with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, that's Hercules in New York?
Yes.
Terrible.
It is, but it's
terrible.
So funny.
But I'm telling you, Esmeralda, the ones with Lou Ferrigno?
Even better?
Oh my God, are they funny. Beyond funny. Real quick, here's Rich on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hey, hey. Fantastic topic. I was about to go to sleep, and I couldn't.
Well, you blame it all on Svengoolie and King Kong escapes.
Yeah, well, I had a little time on hold, so I had some real quick runner-ups before I give you my main one,
yeah.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
You got your giant Gila monster.
Sure.
Which actually wasn't giant. When I was a little kid and I'd watch that monster was, to me, watching it, it was a Gila monster running around on a model train set.
Oh, that's exactly what it was.
But that's what it looked like. I mean, it wasn't giant. It was like the movie was filmed with a Gila monster on a train set.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
It wasn't, yeah. Another one, Exorcist 2, which is pretty bad. Creeping Terror. I don't know if you know that one or
Creeping
not.
Terror is a great one.
Yep. Son of Godzilla.
Yep.
And Robot Monster, of course.
Yep.
Okay, but the one here that it takes the cake for me, and I'm not going to say the name right now. I'm just going to say one of the actors to you and see if you can shout out the title because it's preposterous and fantastic and it's so bad.
All right.
Big star there with Rosie Grier.
Yeah, and Ray Milland.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a thing with two heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is an unbelievable movie. That one absolutely fits into this category, Esmeralda. This is a legendary one.
Oh, yeah.
The thing with two heads. It's about a white racist who is about to die. His body, they cut off his head and put him on Rosie Grier's body.
Right. I've seen like bits.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It was brilliant for the special effects thing because like when they showed him on the operating table, all they do is just slide Ray Milland and he droop his chin over
right.
Rosie Grier's shoulder.
And then like for the long shots, like when the action stuff, they're riding around a motorcycle, it's like Rosie Grier with like a styrofoam head attached to his shoulder.
Yeah, it was like the kind you put a wig on.
Oh, it's hysterical. All right, I got to run, Rich. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. All right, Neil says Big Trouble in Little China. Wrong. Wrong, because Big Trouble in Little China is a legitimately great movie.
I mean, I have some issues with it, but
it's great. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, Steve says. That is one of the best ever. How about Dolomite? Oh, Dolomite rules. All the Rudy Ray Moore movies rule. All the Rudy Ray Moore movies. A Night of the Lepus with giant rabbits.
I love that.
Isn't that a great one? That's a great one.
How could they crush you? They're so cuddly.
They're all little, yeah. The Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band movie. Whew, terrible. And then finally, Buckaroo Banzai, another actual good movie. And then, of course, Harold says Death Sport rules. So there you go, Esmeralda.
Right.
I'm so excited you're going to see Fever Pitch.
I'm excited / frightened by what.
It's the best. It is the best ever. I'm telling you, you're going to laugh your butt off the whole time. All right. So if you want to continue to send them up to us, you can do it at our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow.